Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy.
Hello, beautiful mamas. This is Tanya from Tanya Marie Coaching, and I had the most amazing chat with Fiona and Courtney about giving yourself permission to move yourself up the priority list, how to have those conversations with your family about like meeting your own needs and making you happy and setting that example for your kids. And I know you are going to get so many gems out of this, and I really, really hope that you love this conversation as much as I did.
Fiona, conversation time.
Conversation time.
Conversation time. And you're a mum, I'm a mum.
Tanya's
a
mum.
Tanya's a mum. For all the mums out there, you are going to be like, oh yeah, yeah.
If you feel seen, if you feel heard,
yep.
Or you'd like to, mm-hmm. This is your episode.
This is your episode. And look, like, we're going to have this conversation. Be kind in yourself. To yourself through this conversation, though, don't judge yourself. Don't throw yourself under a bus. Don't be harsh on yourself.
Have a good listen, and but I think it's just going to tick some boxes and make you feel some feels.
Exactly, and it's going to also make you feel very connected and a little less isolated. And just know that we've all been down this path before too. So I think that's what's also very interesting about this conversation.
Yep.
So today we welcome Tanya Biddle to the podcast, to the Your Daily Pass podcast, which we're very excited for.
We are.
Tanya is a mum of three.
Wife to one.
She added that into her bio. We both giggled at that. We thought that was pretty darn funny. But look, what I really love about Tanya, and I will let Tanya speak in 2 little seconds, but, you know, she talked about being a mum and making her family's happiness her only priority, you know, like knowing that your life literally just revolved around them. And I think as every mum, we'll go, oh yeah, yep, we know how that feels. Exactly. So today we get to welcome Tanya to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, Tanya.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, we are too. But I also want to get the conversation started.
Yes.
Because, you know, in your bio, you wrote so beautifully about, you know, making your family your only priority. But I want to know what makes you you. I want to know about your journey. So start that where you will, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
So basically, my partner and my husband and I met when we were 18, and that was it. Like within 3 weeks, we were like, when we get married and have kids, and, you know, it was all just hunky dory. And, you know, every time he bent over, the sun shone, as far as I was concerned. And I made his happiness my only priority. And then, of course, when the kids came along, it was the same deal. Like their happiness was my only priority. And at the time, I thought that this was going to work out perfectly because it was going to be a two-way street. You know, I would take care of them, they would take care of me, and it'd be all sweet. But no, that's not the way it worked. And so for, you know, I don't know, how old am I? 51. So for, you know, 30-odd years of my life, I came last, and I taught them that that was where I belonged. I belonged at the bottom of the pile, at the bottom of the to-do list. And if anything needed to be done, then I would drop everything and I would do it for them. And it just got to the point where I was burnt out. I was fucking miserable, and I resented them. Even though I love them, I resented them because they weren't taking care of me the way that I was taking care of them. And then it wasn't until I got a life coach of my own who said to me, you do realize you've chosen all this, haven't you? I'm like, what the fuck? Who would choose that? Like, who chooses a shit life like that? Like, on the outside, it looked perfect. You know, married, kids, job, house, dog, you know, the whole bit. On the outside, it looked amazing. But I'd chosen to, you know, the choices that I'd made along the way to put myself last and to believe that sacrifice and suffering was what made me a great mum had led me to where I was. And so that was when, you know, it was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders when I realized that. It's like, oh, my husband wasn't the asshole that I thought he was. Like I had trained him to believe what he believed, and the same with my kids. And so, you know, then it was a long, slow, hard process to retrain everybody to like move myself up that priority list. And so now what I do is I'm a life coach for working mums, and I help them make that awareness, like be accountable for the choices that they've made, take responsibility for that, and just go, yeah, okay, this is what I've done so far, but you know, that stops here. And now I need to set the example for my kids, and I need to teach my husband and my entire family that my needs, my goals, my dreams are just as important as theirs, and to help them find that balance between being the mum and the partner that they want to be, but also being the fucking badass woman that they know that they should be and can be. So that's where I'm at.
I love that. You know, something that's popped straight, and I wrote it straight down the second you said it, is like we all think about the sacrifice and the suffering, and that's what makes us a good mum. And I feel like sometimes it's used as like a badge of honour. Mm. Like it's one of these like comparison things when the mums get together. You see those conversations happen, and I know I've been part of the conversation myself and then thought afterwards, what? Like what the like how did we all just go, oh well, you know, this is happening for me, that's happening for me, we're all suffering, we've all sacrificed, and but then obviously I'm a good mum.
Madness. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's you know, hundreds of years of history of, you know, women like fitting into that role, but it's sort of like, you know, the and we use it as justification to not do stuff for ourselves, you know, like, oh, I'm too busy, or I don't have the time, or I've just, you know, I don't have the energy, or I can't. And that was one of the things actually that pushed me into getting my coaching qualifications and putting myself out there, was I had so many conversations with other mums along the lines of, oh, I've always wanted to, you know, write a kid's book, but I can't because I've got a husband and a kid, or I've always wanted to be like a party planner for kids, but I can't because, you know, I've got, you know, a kid. And it's like, what? Like, yeah. I can guarantee that your husband's not sitting there saying, oh, I've always wanted to get a promotion, but I can't because I've got a wife and kid. Like, it doesn't work in the reverse. And I'm not bashing men. I'm just saying that the programming that we have just been all, yes, you know, subjected to all our lives for, you know, for hundreds of years back in history is where, you know, is where we're at. And I really feel that now is a real shift is happening with us women, and yes, and thinking that, you know what, that's not going to happen anymore.
Which is absolutely beautiful. But I do, you're right. And what you're saying, you're not in any way bashing men at all. And I definitely don't think that at all. But, you know, even when you said, talking about your life, like we've literally conditioned them to do that. Like we've literally done that because in some way, shape or form, it's been put into our heads as young women or young girls or whatever you want to say, to go, right, as soon as like you're here to like serve, you're here to like do this. And even though like, as generations, we have come a fucking long way, right? Like we know that, but it is still there, and there is still growth that needs to happen. And I think that's what's beautiful about our story, is sometimes we're the one that keeps writing that story over and over again. And until it takes that time of going, well, hang on a minute, it doesn't feel right. Yeah, there's going to be some pretty rough seas when we go, hey guys, I don't actually like that, and it's time that I start having a voice. But like,
yeah,
I think if you're okay and totally willing and realize that will be that, and you know, you had a coach, and so they would have talked to you going, right, it's not going to be pretty, but like we need to set these boundaries or draw the lines in the sand. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the one thing, or the other thing that really pushed me forward in this, you know, when I was going through that, was like, what kind of example am I setting for my daughter?
Mm.
Like when she is old enough to, you know, find a partner and move out, do I want her to repeat the same pattern that I repeated? Do I want her to lie awake and plot her divorce because she is not prioritizing her needs,
mm-hmm,
and she expects everybody else to do that for her? No. Mm. And I don't want my boys to walk out there and go, you know what, all I need to do is get a job and, you know, come home and sit on the couch, and that's the way life's supposed to be. No,
mm-hmm,
no way. So yes, that was a huge thing for me. Like it's, you know, even in my small nucleus of a family, it is my responsibility to change that thought pattern.
It is. And you're so right. Like, what we are taught from our parental figures about how a relationship looks, we do take that into our older lives, even if we might not fully agree, or, you know, if it was written on the wall, you'd be like, ah, oh, that's a bit weird. Like, that's really not right. Like, I don't see how that's fair or any of those things. But we take them with us thinking that that's just the way life is. And so you're right. And is it when you had your daughter that you really were like, light bulb moment?
Yeah, it was. Because, you know, the idea of her suffering the way I was suffering, I just couldn't bear it. Like, I just thought that's, I can't do that to her. Like, I don't want her to be in the same position. And, but also with my boys, like, you know, the idea of them being subjected, or their partners being subjected to the same, you know, emotions and resistance and behavior that I was, you know, accepting, I was just like, nah, that's not happening. Not on my watch. I you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I know for myself, so I've got the three kids and the twins, my girl, and I've got boy-girl twins, and I know that there is just so many things that your kids teach you, right? Like, here we are before we go to have kids, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to teach them all the things in the world, but they teach you so much. And there's so many things that I'm like, oh, well, I want my little men to be thinking like this, and I want my little lady, like little girl, to have a thought and to have those. And I know myself, there's so many things that they watch you like a hawk, right? They're little sponges. They just soak it all up, and you're like, oh, I need to check myself. Like, that's when you feel like you're under this light, is because they start copying you, and you're like, oh, okay, it's time to do something about this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We are setting the example, and yeah, it is. It's having that awareness of, okay, what is it that I'm doing that they are going to repeat? Because, like you said, you know, you don't actually have to say to them, sit down and say to them, you do this or you don't do that, they will just watch you. They will just watch whatever you do.
Yes. Wow. So, Tanya, how do we go about starting to try and prioritize ourselves here?
With me, I started, it was all about self-awareness to start off with. My first awareness was how fucking angry I was all the time. I was ready to rip people's heads off and shit down their necks at a split second. Mm-hmm. I'd be in traffic and someone wouldn't indicate and I would be absolutely furious. And I was on the boil all the time. So having that awareness of my emotional state was the very beginning for me. And sort of going, okay, so where's that coming from? Why am I so pissed off? And, you know, is that idiot in the traffic really, does he give a shit? No, he doesn't give a shit. So I need to start releasing that. So it was processing those emotions, like, you know, assessing where they were coming from, no judgment whatsoever, and just saying, okay, so that's unhealthy. Let's just let that go. And then from there, it was the accountability, then taking the responsibility for, okay, these are the choices that I have made. At no point did my partner and I sit down at the very beginning and for him to say, this is the list of things that you're going to do, and this is the list of things that I'm going to do. And when we parent, you're going to do 95% of it. I'm going to play with them at the end of the day, and that's going to be my 100% done. So, like, in hindsight, I would have loved to have gone back and had those conversations, because you just go into a relationship and you're like, yes, we want kids. Yes, we want to own a home. Yes, we want to have jobs, and that's it. That's as far as a conversation goes. There's no, okay, so when you parent, are you going to smack? No smack. You know, how much time do you know? All those conversations really need to be had. But, like, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. But the next stage for me was having that conversation with my partner and saying, you know, I'm absolutely fucking miserable. And I've realized it's not your fault, that it's my fault. And I am no longer going to take responsibility for your happiness. That's on you.
I'd love to jump into that, because that realization in itself is absolutely, like, mind-blowing that you came to. Like, that is absolutely beautiful. Mm. And I'm sure having that conversation would have been like, you know, when you thought of that and have kind of come to that conclusion, you would have been like, holy shit, because it is so easy to blame everybody else. Oh, they demand me do it. They want, they want, they want. It's like, I've trained them, and that's fucking hard to bring up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And the very first question that, you know, because at first when I had that conversation with my husband, he's like, oh, yeah, okay. But then after a while, he's like, what does that actually mean for me? You know, what exactly is going to change? And I'm like, well, a fucking shit ton, because I'm going to do less around here, and I'm going to ask you to do more around here. And the stuff that makes me happy is going to start moving up the priority list. And the stuff that I do for other people that they are capable of doing for themselves is gonna stop happening. So that was a huge conversation to have. And it was fucking scary, terrifying as hell to have that conversation.
In that conversation, was there a way, because like that, I could imagine him be like, okay, cool. What does that mean? Like, I don't get it. Like, and because literally he knows no different too, right? So you've obviously come to him with a book of gone, cool, all this, yeah, it was shit. We're turning pages, we're doing something new. In that, is there a way that, you know, like us as women who are working our way through this next process, do we go, cool, well, this is what I'm going to do. So this is what it means to you, but also what it means is your wife is going to be a happier, healthier, caring, more loving, you know what I mean? Like, do you have that conversation and throw that in at the same time to be like, look, dolls, this is what I want. This is what it means for you. But then as our whole and as our family dynamic and as what our house, you know, like you're not going to be walking in on eggshells, everyone gets to have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, I think a lot of mums, you know, they miss that point, that when you look after yourself, when you take care of yourself, when you prioritize your needs, it is of benefit, not just to you, but to everybody else. So yeah, that definitely was part of the conversation, that, you know, no, you know, your happiness is now your responsibility. But my happiness is my responsibility. And when I am happier, then you are happier. And I, you know, we both want each other to be happy, right? Yes, we do. Okay. So this is, you know, the way it's working at the moment is not working. So we're going to try something different. Like, we're going to try, you know, me being a happier person. And then, you know, the result of that is, you know, that when we do have time together, that it's going to be more quality time. And not like you said, walking on eggshells and, you know, resentment and, you know, blame, shame and criticism.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you can come to somebody and be like, okay, cool, this is what I want to change, this is what it's going to look for you, but this is how also it's going to look like, that to me brings joy and excitement and like, oh, okay, like I see this path.
It's not all consequence.
Yeah,
and the consequence, I guess, is good and bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than consequence just being a negative word.
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes me think of the quote you often say about mums being the heart of the home.
I just wrote that down so I can say
it. Did you?
Yes. Yes. I always say, like, you know, like, mums are the heart of the home, and once, you know, if we're unhappy, then the home's going to be tilting to be quite unhappy. So we need to put ourselves first and work on that and not feel guilty for it.
Easier said than done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We totally get that.
That's why I said it in a song.
Yes.
It was trying to make it peppy so people did it.
So, Tanya, what do we do to help going, okay, cool, like, we have to have this conversation, like, things need to change.
Yeah.
We've had a beautiful conversation with our loved ones and probably start with, say, the partner to start with, because we've gone, right, this is what's going to change to you, but this is what we're trying to achieve as an outlook. And if you
together.
Went to... Exactly. If, like a beautiful flower blooming. That's what, that sort of hand signal Fiona and I are giving each other right now. But, you know, and I think, you know, you go and you talk and you're like, right, like this is what we want to do, like, as a family. And I suppose once you had your partner on board, you would have then been able to go, right, this is...
Kids, this is what we're doing.
This is where the flow-on effect is going to go.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Look, I would like to say that that it did flow beautifully and it did bloom like a flower, but the resistance was huge.
Yeah, right.
It was like a cactus, like, with prickles on it.
Exactly.
Bloom,
yes.
Like a cactus.
Yeah, yes, it was a big gnarly cactus for quite a while, because initially what was perceived was, I am going to do less for you and more for me. And so right away, it's like, well, that's a fucked like yeah. scenario. I don't like the idea of that. And I don't want to do any more around the house than I already do. And, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's not just a one-off conversation. It is constant, like a constant reminder that, you know, we're in this together. We both want to be happy. We are both going, we are both have the same goal in mind. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, we're changing the way that we're getting to that destination now. So it was about, you know, the next step was starting to set those boundaries, because the risk is that, you know, when you're faced with that prickly cactus, when you're faced with that resistance, that you back down and it just goes back to the way it was before, because it's easier, like it's safer, it's more familiar. And so it is, it's a bit of an uphill battle to start off with, because, and you know, for my sake, in my situation is what I'm trying to say, you know, me doing more for myself meant, you know, I was doing less for everybody else. And that met with a lot of resistance. But
makes it quite, you know, hard to stick to your guns. So you would have had to just really like end goal in sight.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It took a lot of courage. It took a lot of courage to continually have those conversations and to continually, you know, move forward through that resistance. And it wasn't just external, like it wasn't just coming from him either, because you're dealing with that internal resistance, because you're like you said, you're dealing with that guilt, and you feel selfish now because you want more time for you and less time for them. And so the tricky thing is that, you know, he was mirroring exactly what I was feeling inside. Yes. Like, am I doing the right thing? Like, maybe I should just step back into my box and you know, keep everybody happy. But it had just gotten to a point of no return for me. And I knew that it was going to be better on the other side. I just had to keep going and to keep trying to look at it from his point of view, from his perspective. It's like, okay, things are going to change and this is unfamiliar and I don't know where I fit in here anymore, and what does this mean for our relationship? What does this mean for me? And so it was that constant reassurance, like, you know, we're still in this together. We are still a team. We're just changing roles. We're just changing the dynamic. And at the end of the day, you know, it's going to flow more smoothly and we're going to be happier, and because, you know, we're going to lift each other up and, you know, it's not going to be, you know, as one-sided as it feels at the moment.
And I think any time that there is, you know, a change in dynamics or movement with boundaries and things like that, the other person can feel rejected pretty quickly. Like, and that's a fear yep. that's based on them. And although you're not responsible for that, it is nice to reassure and give a full understanding and explain where it's coming from and what's coming up. And even just to notice, okay, right now they're feeling rejected. That's probably why they're speaking, you know, they're very confused and they're getting maybe a little bit shorty about the situation. But how can I explain myself so that they have an understanding, so that they don't feel so rejected? Because that's what it comes down yeah. to, isn't it? When you put a boundary in, other people can feel rejected and they feel like, you know, they can't handle it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, like you said, you know, it does come down to them. And there were times where, being that gentle and understanding person and having that perspective of where they were coming from was vitally important. And then there are other times where it was just, you know what, fuck this. This is the way it's going to be. Like, I'm not backing down here, and I love you, but you're being a bit of an ass. And so it's a real balance. It's a real balance to find you know, that point where, because it can all just turn to custard.
Mm.
And, you know, if you push too hard and you know, you're too demanding, like you said, and they feel rejected And you're just changing so much of their lives. You know, they had this vision of the way it was going to be for the next 10 or so years, and you're just wiping that out because now they don't know how it's going to be, how it's going to fit in. You know, so it's, I think it's, for me, it was definitely like a real push, and I needed a lot of force to get where I wanted to go. And it's not what I would recommend for other women. Like, you know, there needs to be a gentle, I'd just gotten to a breaking point for me, I think, to be perfectly honest with you. But there needs to be a conversation around, let's create this future together. Let's create this new future together. Let's, you know, work out what you want in your life and what I want in my life and make that happen together for both of us.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. Let's create this future together. I think that's really nice. And, you know, I mean, like you say, you're at the point where you're like, I fucking can't keep doing this. And I think for mothers, and that's why it's so beautiful that you have set something like this up, right? Like, so a young mother, or, you know, even before you're a mother, just to have a little bit of a knowledge about this sort of stuff, to have this conversation with your partner or whoever, your significant other, just to kind of be like, okay, cool. Well, like, I've got to make sure we're on the same page, because that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's this communication, and we were taught to not to have that communication. Yes. And now we're finally feeling finding our voices and understanding that we are worthy enough. And, you know, that amazing, if that's what you want to do, that's great, but communicate that that's what you want to do. And so, you know, going forward, I think it's so beautiful that you do have something like this set up to help women.
I think the very first step is like, am I worthy of this? Or maybe even before that, it's like, what is it that I want anyway? Like, you know, I'm the mum. I love my kids. Like, I throw myself in front of a bus for those little pricks. But I'm more than that, which is, you know, where the more than a mama comes from. I am more than a mama. Like, I wasn't put on this earth a mama. I was a woman before that.
Yeah.
When they go off and do their own thing, I'll still be their mother, but I will be a woman. I'm a woman in my own right. I have my own dreams, my own goals, my own loves, my own passions, my own purpose, you know, on this planet. And so I think it's important for mums to have that self-awareness, to know who it is they are, what it is they want outside of their family, and finding the balance between those two things, like being able to follow your passions and your dreams and still be the amazing mum and partner that you want to be. Mm. So it's really important for me to sort of support women through that process, ideally before they hit the wall like I did. Mm. Yeah, I think it helps change the status quo, because I think that is our role at the moment. And it also, you know, as humankind, like, you know, we're all just going to be vibrating on a much higher level when we are following our passions, and teaching other people to do the same thing.
Absolutely.
I think there's, you know, there's such a need for this. And, you know, the day we work out that we don't need to do this sort of work is a day that the term mum guilt isn't thrown around all the time, right? Like, I never hear the word dad guilt getting around, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not a thing. Like, I don't know if it's a thing, but it's not a thing, right? And so, you know, like, we need people like you doing this work and that ripple effect to keep going until there's no longer that term of, oh, my mum guilt, or, oh, this, or even a woman wanting to do something but then feeling so much shame and embarrassment and going, oh, no, no, no.
Imagine limiting that. Yourself because of that. Like, that just madness, isn't it?
Yeah, but we do it.
But it's just nuts.
It is.
You don't want to teach your kids to do that.
God, no. And, I mean, then it also comes back to, you know, not saying all, but, you know, what if some mamas didn't even want to become mamas, but that they did that because that was the next role. That was the next thing that happened, sort of thing. True. So we want them to be able to make these strong decisions and big decisions, but strong decisions, and really be okay with them.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's And it's sort of like they get to a, you can get to a situation, I certainly did, where I felt I needed to ask permission. I need to ask permission to invest in myself financially and with time. And then you start to feel trapped because you are having to go to somebody else to ask if it is okay if you do something for just for you. And that is, a, you know, it's a horrible, lonely place to be. And I know, and I'm sure there are hundreds of millions of women out there who feel exactly that same way. And so for me, it was, a, it was, that was a real, there was a lot of fear around that too. And just feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And just instead of asking permission, it's sort of like, well, I'm going to do this. And I'm, I hope you're okay with that. Mm. You know, as long as I knew that it wasn't going to financially fuck over our family, then I was doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, you know, I got braces, I got a tattoo, I went over to Italy for 3 weeks with my best friend. And I got my coaching qualifications, all of which cost a fucking shit ton of money. Mm. And, you know, at the time it was like, oh, you know, we can't afford that. We can't afford that. And I'm like, well, you know, actually we can. And it's something that will make me happy. And it's something that, you know, is not, you know, it's not like I am sacrificing everybody else's happiness so that I'm happy. It's just that we can all be happy. And it's, you know, it's, and I think that's what it is. Like it's, you know, you spent so much time training your family that, you know, you come last and you don't need anything other than to be in servitude to your family. And then when you start sort of, you know, wanting, you know, money for to spend on yourself or time to spend on yourself or, you know, whatever it is, it's, you know, there's that, you know, that uncertainty there. It's sort of like, oh, you know, are we supposed to be doing that? Are you supposed to be doing that? So yeah, it's having that feeling of self-worth, like you are worthy of everything, just like your kids are. I mean, at no point are you going to say to your kids, you don't deserve to follow your dreams.
Yeah, no way
in the world. So why would we sit here and literally tell ourselves, exactly. You know, you have that going on. So let's talk about the mum guilt and dealing with that. I mean, I wish there was a magic wand so that nobody ever did that again. But I think it's, you know, for me it's something that I try to practice to not do. And I try to look at it in different ways. And so I don't know if this is a method that you use at all, but it's something that, for example, for me working on a Thursday late night, that used to always throw me out and I used to really struggle. It meant my husband picked the kids up from daycare. It meant he did bath, bed, book, teeth, dinner, all the things and put them to bed. And within myself, I was like, oh, my God, what's it, you know, you're not there every day. And so then I really sort of zoomed out. It was one of the things that I really tried to do and it was like, okay, so there's 52 weeks in a year, right? Not every one of those is late night. So let's just wind that back to, let's say, 48 for shits and gigs, right? Mm. So 48 weeks out of 365 days, I'm working a late night. Okay. Is it that bad?
Yeah.
No, it is not. Does my husband really fucking love that time with the kids? Like, do they get sausages every Thursday night? Yep. Does he put a load of washing on? Sometimes I'm lucky. But it's one of those things, hey, like sometimes I think we really have to like just zoom out and be like, hang on a minute. Are we making this a lot bigger than it really has to be?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I definitely advocate for that, having that conversation with yourself. And I would do that on a regular basis, like I'm feeling really fucking guilty about this. Okay, who am I hurting here? No one. You know, in your situation, you know, it's a perfect example. You know, do the kids, you know, enjoy spending time with their dad? Yes. You know, is it good for them to see that I am going out working and dad can handle his shit just like I can? Yes, absolutely. So it's, you have that conversation with yourself and it gets to a point where you're just like, I'm just going to do it anyway. I feel guilty and I'm going to do it anyway because at the end of the day, like your kids aren't going to turn around and go, I am emotionally scarred from all the Thursday nights that you worked. No, they're not. They're going to go, it was fucking great fun having great, you know, we had snags with dad. We got to stay up late. I went to bed a couple of times and didn't brush my teeth. Woohoo! You know, they're not going to be scarred by you doing things just for you. So the mum guilt, like, yeah, I like you said, I wish there was a magic wand, but there isn't. And it's just a case of constantly talking to yourself, telling yourself, like, this isn't a big deal. Like, it's not a big deal. And it's also teaching them that, you know, they need to be responsible for themselves. They need to be able to occupy themselves without you being there. And dad can, like, you know, because that's the other thing that we're teaching them. Like, if you're teaching them that you have to be there all the time, then they're thinking, oh, well, dad's obviously not very good at it because mum does it. And that's sort of robbing him of the opportunity of being a fucking fantastic dad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you really do have to just have that conversation with yourself over and over and over.
We really do make things a lot bigger in our heads than
I was going to say, everything's quite complicated when it doesn't need to be.
It does not.
Just like, to have the conversation with the kids too, you know, just to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I love going to work.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right. And I think that, like, we really need to, like, check in with ourselves and be like, cool, is this a story you're telling yourself or is this reality? Like, is this, like, is this it or are you making this up in your head?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. We attach a lot of meaning to stuff that it doesn't, like, you know, me going to work and not being home with the kids, I feel guilty. Okay, what does that mean? It means I'm a shit mum. No, it doesn't. It means that, you know, my needs are more important than theirs. No, everybody's going to judge me because I'm not at home looking after my kids 24/7. Yeah, no. So we do. We attach all this meaning to, you know, to the actions, and you know, fall into the shoulds. We should be doing this. So yeah, I think it's just super important that we really start challenging that.
Mm. Yes, that is so true. So true, Tanya. I would love to have some words of wisdom. I mean, we have said so many things. Fiona has quite a lot written down there, but I think. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. Probably one of the biggest things that I've taken away from this conversation was about the taking the responsibility for what you do in the relationship too, because I think that's something that has really been, like, I don't know, it's just not talked about. You know what I mean? Like, everything else is talked about, but, like, that part there, like, that's like that missing.
It's actually not someone
piece.
Else's fault.
No.
It all starts with us.
Exactly. Like, that seems to be that really big missing piece of the puzzle that we've been looking for and searching for. Like, what have you done to contribute to that? Like,
so what you're talking about there is unconscious agreements.
Mm.
When we first get into a relationship, we just start behaving in a certain way. I start to do some things, he starts to do other things, and we just, and so then it becomes, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it just becomes a habit. Our behavior is, so we have these unconscious you know, agreements that, well, you know, you're responsible for this and I'm responsible for that. And we've never actually discussed it, but that's just the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's how those habits start. And so like it is, it's being aware of those and saying, well, okay, so, you know, I know that's the way it always, you know, and I've had those conversations with my husband. It's like, well, why am I the one that always does whatever? And he's like, well, because it's, you've always just done it. And so, okay. So we have both contributed to that. So there, you know, there is, you know, there's the person that does the behavior and then there's the enabler, the person who lets them do the behavior. And a lot of the time, like, we're, you know, we're both. Like, we do everything for everyone, and then we also allow everyone else to not do much for themselves. So it's really, you know, when it comes to my kids, I wish I had have started with the end in mind. Like, when, like, we, you know, you absolutely love these little, you know, humans when they're born, and you pour all your love and energy into them and you protect them and you keep them safe. But it's not until much later that you think, oh, hang on, they're turning into assholes because I've done everything for them. They don't do anything for themselves. They're completely lazy. They don't respect my boundaries. I can't even go to the toilet without them, like, banging on the door or opening up or whatever it is. So I think for me, I wish I had have started creating that awareness earlier that I want them to be, you know, happy, and I want them to, you know, to follow their dreams and, you know, be whoever they want to be. But I also want them to be capable, responsible, nice people, independent. And so those sort of tools I wish I had have started teaching my children a lot earlier. Like when you, like you, like now with you guys, mm-hmm. like your kids are, you know, at that perfect age, be like, nah, you can get on the end of a vacuum and do your room. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys are into MasterChef, but they had a MasterChef Kids on a few years ago. I couldn't watch. I'm like, this 11-year-old can cook better than I can. So, and when my daughter like is, you know, oh, I can't do this, I'm like, there are kids that can do MasterChef and cook better than me. Get on the end of that vacuum cleaner. You know you can do it.
That's so true. We, so my son, he's 7, and on the weekends I'm like, Rodeo, mate, you go and grab the vacuum out, clean your room. I walked past his room today, and so normally in the mornings it's like you get up, you have brekkie, you get dressed, you make your bed, your room is cleaned, you clean your teeth, then you can go and do your Lego or whatever. And I walked past his room this morning. I hadn't even got this kid breakfast yet, and he was dressed. The room was amazing, and I was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Like, he's just doing this without being told now. And then I heard him start the vacuum up, and I thought, it's not even the weekend, but righto.
Exactly. Right, you know what? Man. We're not mentioning
bring it on, baby. No,
but I just kind of was like, holy shit. And then I was like, for a second, I was like, oh, is that bad? And then I thought, nah, that's good. This is awesome. But it's just one of those things, isn't it? Even when they do these things, we're like, oh, is that a bit much? Should I have taught my 7-year-old to use the vac mop? But anyway.
Yep.
Go for it.
Mm.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's because the other thing is, like, building, you're also building his confidence. Like, that's a confidence building thing, right? Like, if you can do certain things, you become more confident in them. Mm. And then once you become more confident in them, you become more confident in yourself. And especially something like making the bed in the morning, like, that's just something, you know.
And he has a queen size bed.
He's got a big bed.
I was pretty stoked about that.
Yep. You're like, you've done well. Look, Tanya, thank you so much for being here with us today. We do really, really appreciate it. Where can our listeners find you?
So, yeah, I'm on Instagram, Tanya Marie Coaching. I'm pretty sure that's what it says on Instagram, and Tanya Marie Life Coach on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, reach out. I'm on, you know, Instagram fairly regularly. And yeah, send me a message. I've got, like, anyone needs a chat, I do free 30 minutes. So we can sort of, and there's a lot of power in 30 minutes where you can just get some clarity, get some direction, get some action, and, you know, just get that boost of confidence and that little kick up the ass to just get you moving in the right direction. Even if it's like, you know, yes, you deserve this, you know, this is what you are meant to do. So definitely reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook, and I'd love to.
And we'll put everything into the show notes as well too, which will be so good.
I think it's nice, isn't it, having a nice 30-minute chat, because sometimes you just need that permission from someone else. Randomly, but yes,
it really does go a very long way. Perfect. Tanya, thank you very much for joining us on this episode.
I've absolutely loved it. It was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, wasn't that an epic episode? I love these conversations with. They just make my day, my week, my all the things.
Yeah, Fiona, you're right. It's one of those things that we always feel that what is said is what is needed to be said. So I really truly hope that you guys have gotten something as we have out of this episode.
And let us know. Get in contact with us. Please. We would love to chat to you.
Yes.
Shoot us a message on our Insta or our Facebook, and definitely leave us a review.
Definitely. And guys, look, how you share the love is by actually sharing the love. So make sure you share it with your friends. Let people know, because that's what keeps us doing what we're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.